I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a podcast about Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. The show is hosted by me, Ben Vanel, and my friend Adam Knox. G'day, Knoxy.
Here I am. That's me. I'm the bringing in the big guns here. You riding me like I'm a dragon, ready to placate any awkward situations that are going on between two warring factions.
Speaking of big guns, I don't know if you saw this in the news. I know you've been very busy and you're like overseas. So I don't know if they report on this over there in the UK.
They don't have the news here. No, it's all it's all girls with tits in the fucking papers here.
What about
it's
the town
crier? Like Game of Thrones.
did he come past ringing his bell? If he did, he would have been shouting, House of the Dragon, episode one, premiere. The largest premiere, the most views of any HBO show ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw a little video that someone took of like an apartment building that they were outside of, and all of the windows were open, and it was like 50% of the windows were all changing color at the same time because everyone was watching House of the Dragon.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Cool. I mean, we talked about it, you know, the week before last, not really sure what the interest level still was in Game of Thrones, but clearly it's bigger than ever, people tuning in at least to see if the first one's any good. And like we said last week, it was. So I imagine that, yeah, this is going to be a successful show.
It seems like it. And look, from this second episode, I'm into it. It's doing all the stuff that early Game of Thrones did with all the garden walks and the weird intrigue and the political fuckheads that it feels like an exact middle ground between being close enough to that original but also fresh enough different characters where like Daemon's not the same type of villain that anybody really was. It's working for me.
I don't want to I wish I remembered their name, so I shouldn't do this, but I did see someone either email in or maybe talk in one of our groups for our other podcast saying, Knox, why can't you see how this show will be interesting? It's not just the same as Game of Thrones because family intrigue is, you know, it's like, well, they're different people. But I think that's something that we sort of worried about before we saw it is like, well, we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know how it'll be different, how it will take a very similar, you know, overall plot, overall concept and make it fresh. But it definitely has.
And that's the thing, is different people can be different people, but, like, characters tend to fit into certain types of character.
Right.
Whether or not they're different people, especially when you're in the same, like, setting in terms of not even just the world, but, like, the same court and the same rules and the same, like, tensions politically and whatever. So, like, it is
you're right,
tough
these are
to
not,
make.
When you write something fictional, you have to make it up and you tend to rely on existing tropes. And that's why it was a concern, because they're not
exactly real
people.
And if it's just a combination of two different people, if it gets too close, or if it's just like, oh, it's this, but the twist is now this one's a coward or whatever, it can feel boring and repetitive. But this isn't feeling like that so far.
Not at all. Another bit of news on the news wire. It's already been renewed for season two. So, hey, there you go. It's all full steam ahead. House of the Dragon is the new Game of Thrones and everybody's loving it. I think.
Full smoke ahead.
Okay.
Because that's what dragons breathe.
Okay.
not particularly angry.
I thought we were going to do a bit of, like, a special stoned episode of Are You Talking?
Dude, dream blunt rotation is like Jon Snow, yeah, like that fucking hot crossbow chick.
Oh my god.
No, she didn't
so
even have a crossbow.
Cool.
It was like a vertical bow. It was a regular one.
She was so chill though. She was totally chill.
Do you reckon they even fucking have Zar over there?
I reckon if they don't, Westeros, we could invent it and we'd be fucking rich, dude.
Holy shit, dude. I'm out here.
So yeah, it's great, and certainly Arya Talking To Me listeners are back on board. We've got some emails in between episodes, so before this latest one came out, I thought I'd give them a bit of a read. So first one here we've got is from Sebastian, and he says, "Hello from Chile." Thank you. Hello.
Hello, Sebastian from Chile.
First time writing to your awesome pod. Great way to start your email. I love that.
Sebastian, because your name is Sebastian, I was going to call you the crab feeder because Sebastian's a crab in The Little Mermaid. Oh. But now I'm not going to sink so low.
Yeah, I think Sebastian's a hero. He's not a villain like the crab feeder. And he also specifies, I am not a doctor or a nurse. So that's good to know.
Okay.
Keep that in mind for the rest of this email. When I saw the wound of the king, I immediately thought that he has leprosy. Or that it is a consequence of being inbred. What do you guys think? I hope that episode 2 doesn't reveal it or this email is pointless. I'd love if every email from now on ended with that. I hope that the next episode doesn't reveal that or this email is pointless.
I hope that the second episode doesn't have maggots eating one of his fingers that seems to be rotting away from leprosy. Or else this email... Congratulations, Sebastian, you are a doctor or a nurse, because it does seem like leprosy or something.
It seems, whatever it is in world, it's absolutely the most reasonable thing to assume it is. So, yeah, good work, Sebastian. This was on Tuesday, August the 23rd, 6 days ago. So this is a legitimate prediction that appears to have come through.
Damn,
come true.
He was ready way in advance for this. He's a leper prepper.
Oh, and that's also good. If we could have rhyming descriptions of all of our emails, that'd be sick. He says, keep up the awesome work. And then in brackets, sorry if I wrote poorly, I don't really write in English often. Mate, you fucking nailed it. You write better English than me. So good for you, Sebastian.
I'm trying to imagine how to spell leprosy right now, and I don't have it in my head, so well done.
But yeah, good stuff from Sebastian. We got one from Tim here that says, hey, Ben and Adam. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
So glad you guys are back talking Game of Thrones. It really does feel good to be back in the universe that is familiar. In a sense that, like you said, we know that the Targaryens are still in power for a bit, but unfamiliar in how things in this specific series will pan out. Yes, totally, totally agree. I wanted to write in about the symbolism of Viserys on the throne and how it's literally killing him. In the episode, the Maesters are examining his wound from sitting on the throne, and the show makes it a point to show him getting pricked on his hand. It's a nice callback to Cersei saying, when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. I don't know if that's literally what she meant.
All more about stakes. Yeah, I didn't think that. I mean, that is like, you know, everyone's out for blood and sort of a different thing than like Heavy Hangs the Crown or whatever this more is. Because, yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit too, right, of that they were doing that.
And yeah, Tim also says, I agree that Viserys may not be around long. Excited to see how his potential death will affect the Targaryen family and the realm. And here's the interesting part. Also, my wife and I are expecting our first child. So any recommendations of shitty Targaryen names and or Game of Thrones-esque names with extra consonants are welcome. Keep up the great work,
ooh,
Tim.
Yeah, nice. Miguel Sapochnikt.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's the first name, just the full first name.
Okay, and the middle name can be and the surname can be Ryan Condal.
Yeah, Ryan Condal.
Yeah,
you
got to
chuck
the
little p or something at the end.
Absolutely. What else have we got here? Kieran writes in, says, hey, Arya boys. I came very late to Game of Thrones, having just watched it last year after it all wrapped, so it's very cool going on House of the Dragon day one and being able to watch it along with everybody else, as well as listening to your recaps each week. It is cool, Kieran. It's very cool.
You're being the coolest person that I know, for sure.
Yeah. For an intro episode, I thought this was really strong. We agree. It introduced political machinations, featured some brutal violence, and showcased medieval boobs. The trifecta of Game of Thrones elements that nicely brings everybody back into this universe. He's not wrong. It ticks three boxes. He's a very interested reviewer. That's right. He's interested to see where Matt Smith's character goes, and while he's not nearly as unhinged as Joffrey at the moment, Kieran gets the vibe that he'll be similar in that any scene with him will advance the plot more than others. Pretty good observation, I reckon.
He's important like that, but I think that, not to get too ahead of ourselves, and maybe we'll start talking about the episode.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because towards the end, I thought, I'm interested in how emptily villainous Daemon is. Not that Joffrey and stuff weren't fun, and like Ramsay and all of those being like, they weren't necessarily empty, but they were straight up evil and like nasty. And he doesn't seem to be that same thing necessarily.
Yeah. He seems smarter than them, basically.
And a little more loyal and a little more like emotional, and he seems like a hurt second, you know, younger brother or whatever. Like he's not out to maim. He's being careless with some people and whatever, but he really is, I think, fighting for something he thinks he deserves and is maybe being petulant about how much he thinks he deserves it. But I'm interested to see whether or not that character, it ends up being a little, you know, fucking Jaime Lannister kind of thing, where it's like he's kind of the villain, but then you're like, oh shit, he's got a little heart in there somewhere.
I mean, I already don't think he's a straight out villain. No. Joffrey and Ramsay were psychopaths who happened to be in a position of power. I think that he is just a pretty ruthless, straightforward guy who happens to be in a position that he's not happy with. On the same page there.
Kind of a bit of a crick, he's a bit of a creek. He's like sort of a Babylon Brook of a guy who is in a position that rewards that behavior and has been sort of trained to be that way. So like, I don't know. Otto, after this episode, seems like way more of the, as Daemon called it, the cunt.
Yeah, more of the little finger, more of the...
Totally.
Yeah, actually doing manipulations that are underhanded rather than just being straight up. As much as it is like rubbing people the wrong way, at least you know what Daemon wants.
So we open up this episode. Oh, sorry.
Yes, we got a title sequence. I'm sure that's what you were going to say as well.
It is a proper, you know, same as Game of Thrones, going around a whole bunch of little models of moving stony kind of things and blood river. Same theme song, I think, sort of re-recorded and re-orchestrated and whatever, but definitely the same. And just as long as that first one. But it's cool to have that back. And then cut to a, like, disgusting series of shots of these crabs eating up corpses on a beach that was really... I sat down with my breakfast to watch this episode this morning.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, did it not mix well. Because we're seeing just little glimpses of... Right at the end, we'll see like a person in a weird mask. Who I don't know if that's meant to be the crab feeder, but we see the crab feeder's work up there.
Yeah, a lot of people getting eaten by crabs and like Like trench foot, I guess, is like what it's most similar to. Just bodies getting eroded by the waves. Pretty gross.
Still like half alive, screaming. You know that they've been fucked up. Crab feeder, doctors hate him. Crabs love him.
I like that you laughed at your own.
I couldn't help it. I wish I hadn't. Edit it out, please.
No, it was good. I loved it. We got some real gory violence in episode one. And we get some real... This underlines the threat of this crab feeder guy. He's a real villain. He is, we have to assume from this, a real evil psychopath. And a great
he's
threat
really
to have
for
in terms of an external threat rather than all the internal politics stuff that we also get this episode.
Which we do come over to with Corlys sort of barging into the chamber here, the small council room or whatever they call it.
Yep.
And complaining that, like, this fucking guy, he's getting real close to our shipping lanes. If we lose those shipping lanes, we're fucked. Let's go get him. and the king doesn't really want to. It would be war. It's the free cities. It's their business. Leave them alone. And so the free cities as well, are they beyond the wall, or who are the free cities? I forget.
Fuck, I don't know. I think they're in Westeros maybe, and they haven't been aligned into a kingdom.
Right.
I'll look
sort
it
of up
now.
Towards the northeast or something, right? Because they do talk about like the Iron Islands at some point, I'm pretty sure. I think we're in that area. It would make sense, I suppose, if it's on the coast.
It's here we
but
go.
But either way,
it's like Pentos and, oh fuck, what was the other one I just read?
Right.
Pentos, Braavos, which we've been to before.
Yes.
Volantis.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, those are all on the other continent where Daenerys was, right? That's where she kind of went through freeing the slaves.
Makes sense. And so that's where that shipping route is from, kind of coming over there and,
right.
and bringing stuff over to Westeros. But, like, he's fucking stuff up, but it would mean a war with people who they're currently neutral with. So the king is very like, we ain't doing shit.
Yeah.
And
I think he uses like literally a line from, you know, real world Western military history about not, you know, his duty is to not start a war or what. Like, it's not right. that it's not that verbatim. You'll be shocked to learn. But that line was very familiar and it makes sense. And it's the nice thing to do. But I think as we learn throughout the episode, it maybe is not the most kingly thing to do, potentially.
He's a little bit of a wet blanket, this guy. Like,
yeah,
he's not he is. Indecisive. He's just not showy in the way that if there's tension, maybe is needed. The same with those fighters where people keep talking. And so, Rhaena? Rhaenerys?
I'm fucking Rhaena?
Still terrible with the name. Rhaena. She's pouring wine for people, and she mentions like, hey, how about we send some dragons up? We got dragon riders. I love dragons. I'm the dragon person.
They're the one thing that we have that no one else has. That's why we're in charge. Come on.
And she is very quickly dressed down for speaking up there. Everyone's like, big record scratch.
Yeah.
A dog goes, arr! And like everyone turns and looks at her mortified that she's spoken up. Even if she is the future heir. Which, by the way, I think during this scene, it becomes clear throughout the episode, but we've skipped forward 6 months from previous episode.
Yes.
I think that sort of starts to become evident during this this scene as well. But so, yeah, she gets told, like, hey, how about you go do this fucking stupid chore that we're going to send you away to do, which is to pick someone to be the new Kingsguard.
Yeah,
guy.
Just a Kingsguard, I think. Just
one of the Kingsguards died, or maybe so she's off to pick from these fucking dorks standing in a courtyard, being like, oh, "I want a javelin competition, whatever."
It's a bunch of fucking bachelorette contestants over here.
Yeah, Beauty and the Goddamn Geek is in season way too many. And she's getting coached through it by Otto. Like, no one thinks that she can do anything yet. And maybe she can't. She's 15 and like has not been trained to be the actual heir to the throne for her entire life. So probably is pretty green.
Yep.
But runs
these
people.
She can fly a dragon. That's all I know. And we'll see that later.
And that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, have a good conversation. She's actually, maybe not suited to the stupid shit, but when she decides to get something done, she seems to be okay at that.
And when they do teach her things, she pulls it off perfectly. Like Otto tells her, like, maybe you could thank him for his service to the realm. And she does a very good regal thank you thing, you know?
Totally, totally.
But eventually she picks this guy, Cole, who we saw from the fight against Daemon. He was the guy who ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a nobody. They say that he's like the son of someone's squire or something like that.
Yeah.
Like he's... And she likes him. He's the only one who's actually been in combat, because he's been like at some place that was repelling the people from Westeros, Spain.
Dawn. Yeah.
And so like,
yeah, he's
actually
not a noble.
Fought. She likes him.
That's why. No. Yeah, that's why he was in the army, because he's literally just a dude joined up as a soldier, or maybe even didn't have a choice and proved himself in battle. So he was knighted, which is like absolutely, you know, in terms of the affairs of court, that he's on a much lower class than everyone else.
Absolutely, which they point out to, and they're like, maybe a Malastor or one of these people with a name that we know could be a useful person to pick because we've got allegiances. But she doesn't give a fuck. She's doing things in the way that she sees fit. And the logic of this person's actually seen combat makes sense.
Totally, absolutely.
It makes about as much sense as the enjoyment that you would get out of being a like model-building divorcee. I know his wife died, but he's got a divorcee vibe to him, this king, who we
certainly
cut
does.
Back to now.
I mean, we we comment on like these fantasy shows and movies and stuff we talk about on other podcasts, having their like beautifully sculpted miniature set, their like war room set, their things representing everything. And it's like, where'd you get that? Where'd you like just pop that out? You know, like who's you selling them at Games Workshop? And it's like, oh, I guess the answer is every dad in this show is still a dad and he still likes his models.
Exactly. They haven't invented the steam tray yet. Steam train. So what's he going to like build a model out of?
That's right.
Just the city.
Yep. Just old Warhammer, not Warhammer 40K.
Yeah. Current actual war with hammers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he hasn't painted any of them yet, though. He needs to get some of those Citadel paints. Give him a base coat. I know how it works.
The Citadel's are, you know, just a few days' ride away from memory.
Yeah, sorry, Sept of Baelor paint. So he's like showing off his fucking toys to Alicent again.
Yes.
And she seems to, like, he's being kind to her. That it's not as weird as it kind of seemed in the first one. Like, it is still weird, and it is obviously a manipulation through her dad for her to do. Like, it's a creepy situation, but he's not being a cunt to her.
No, he seems like a nice guy. Like, whatever his flaws are, and they're the kind of flaws that I think get you killed in Game of Thrones, he seems like a pretty nice guy. And I also think that she is fully aware by now what she's doing.
100,000%.
Doesn't seem to be against it. Whether or not, I mean, she doesn't have a choice, so that's a shame.
No.
But she's bought in, and she probably wouldn't be unhappy being the queen.
You see a lot of guilt on her face. Like, I think it's the same as a fair few of the characters here, where they feel like they're doing their duty to the detriment of their own personal life. And I think, obviously, Viserys is doing that throughout this episode. Alicent is doing that. I think that Daemon feels as though he's doing that.
Yes.
I don't think that he seems to enjoy the interaction with his niece, and I don't think he likes having this rift with his brother.
Yeah.
A lot of these characters are really doing what they think they should be doing.
Yes.
Which I've been taught is the only thing that is considered good. So it means all of these characters are good. As long as they're following orders,
that means
they're good.
That's right.
But it's odd because she seems to think that he's a nice old man. I think if her only relationship to him was, oh, this is my girlfriend's dad, they'd get along great.
Sure. Oh, they love talking about models and fucking architecture and shit. They'd be getting like a house on fire.
Unfortunately, they're about to set several houses on fire instead. Speaking of fire, there's a whole ton of fire down in the Sept where Alicent and Rhianna go and have a little chill. And Alicent has brought her there to be like, hey, look, my mum died. Sometimes I sit here and I think about her. It's real nice. How about you have a go?
Yep.
She does. She cries. They touch hands.
Yep.
These two are very close, and
they're
a betrayal
so close
would break their hearts.
Yep. 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 They've both been vulnerable with each other. So vulnerable. In the previous scene, her Daddy Viserys says, don't mention these talks to your mate, Rhianna.
He does.
Cause
and then she's
she
like, of course
not.
I won't. And then definitely doesn't mention it to Rhianna here.
Yeah.
So, like, she is participating to some degree. And look, if someone's forced into that role, then of course they start to participate. But she, you know, she isn't running off and dobbing.
Yes. And what she does do is very subtly be like, hey, Viserys is like, I wish I could talk to Rhaenyra more. And so, in this scene with Alicent and Rhaenyra, she's like, sometimes I have to make the first move with my dad when we're not talking.
Yeah.
So she's like being very good at this manipulation, and she's being very, very subtle.
I think she says something about remarrying here as well, like starts planting these little seeds and Rhaenyra has a cry, and it's filmed in a way where, like, definitely the intention is to make it seem like these two are more than friends.
I think so. It's slightly romantic. Whether or not that is the case or what, at least the TV show is presenting it that way. Which I think, is to the purpose that you said before of making it feel even worse at the end of this episode.
Totally. Tell you what feels good about the middle of this episode, though. We're getting some fucking garden gossip again.
Yes.
We're getting people meeting up, having little chin wags, being watched from balconies. It is textbook, old-fashioned, bullshit-ass Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, this isn't even... I mean, I guess it is early season... seasons Game of Thrones, but it's more, it's like the best bits. It's like season 2 and 3, right? Like, this is,
it's when what's her name was like the peak of it, right?
Tyrell.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that was closer to the end then. Yeah.
Yeah, like season 3 or 4, maybe the minutes. It was, and that's what we're getting. Corlys and his wife, who again, names not my strong suit.
The queen who never was.
The queen who ain't.
Yeah.
They're hanging out and suggesting to Viserys, hey, you got to remarry. What about our daughter? And he's like, she's pretty young though, right? And they're like, yeah, but we're the strongest houses. We've all got the Valyrian bloodlines.
Yep.
It'll be exactly the thing that we need to shore up our influence over the country here.
That's right. I guess they underline, like, this is to show your strength for the future. She's young as hell. So, yeah. Like, she'll be around to have babies for a long-ass time, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
And I guess like we said earlier, like, Corlys is the one who's concerned about those shipping lanes because he has the Navy. He is basically the admiral of this Seven Kingdoms alliance at the moment.
And he says himself that he's the richest person here in Westeros precisely because of that. So
Right. They've
got everything to lose with being seen as kind of weak. Because I don't remember quite when they mention it. I think it's a bit later on that somebody is like telling Viserys straight up, we'll get to it, that he's being perceived as vulnerable.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so like this sort of conversation they have about marrying their very young daughter to him, everyone who we see him ask for, and he goes to cancel everybody who he can throughout this. He asks a lot of opinions, and they're all like, that actually sounds like a pretty fucking good idea, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But he doesn't look convinced yet.
No. Especially not here at dinner with his daughter, where they have sort of an awkward little meal, talk about how they never talk anymore, and then quickly make it tense again by her bringing up, like, hey, when I spoke up at the meeting before, he's like, shut up about it. Don't worry. You're stupid. Yeah. You're young. You're an idiot. Fuck off. You're not capable of this. I still don't believe in you, even though I named you my heir. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. He really fucked up the bonding thing. He really fucked up the wanting to reach out and repair their relationship thing.
There's no way. And look, it's not his fault necessarily that the world that they're in wants a man to be the ruler, but he is making it very clear that that's what he wants as well.
Yeah.
He is not able to move past the fact that she's a woman. And I don't think ever will be. It just doesn't seem like that's going to be possible for him.
Agreed. I don't want this to sound as weak as it does, but it does seem like he wants to go the path of least resistance in almost everything. Sometimes that means doing something that is strong and is the right thing and that everyone around you agrees on. Sometimes it is not marrying a 11-year-old, even though that would be the most advantageous thing to do, because the path of least resistance for him is marrying someone who's a bit older than that and he doesn't feel as much like a creep.
And he talks about having this hole in his life after his wife died. He talks about how much he loved her to Rhaenyra in the last scene and all that. And so that bit is missing. And I think quite for the position he's in, selfishly, he... wants that back and thinks he sees it in Alicent,
right?
Which is because she has deliberately manipulated him into seeing that at the request of her father. It's fucked up again. Game of Thrones is all back and fucked.
And her
father's got his hand in a fucking jar of maggots now.
Yeah, her father only knows to do that because he himself lost his wife and felt invulnerable about it. You know, it's like, man, you are turning something that you know feels horrible into political gain. It's beautiful Game of Thrones.
And sharing that story with the king to ingratiate himself with him and, like, clearly is a fake friend here.
What? 100%.
He's a goddamn phony.
He's a phony. He's a snake.
But he's advising along with the Grand Maester next to this fire while he's getting that finger eaten by maggots.
Yep.
Hey, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to marry someone. And I don't remember quite the way he words it, if he's careful to word it like, hey, marry someone. You should find someone who you like. Maybe someone green dress, who someone who like green dress, brown hair. Someone who you could marry, green dress and brown hair, my daughter. Someone who you could marry.
Yeah. All I'm saying is if someone gives you a dragon statue to, you know, make whole your model collection, it's a sign. Marry them.
Marrying someone could maybe repair the dragon, which is you.
Which is you. You're the Targaryen, so...
But so he entertains the idea. He's being told from all angles, hey, marrying this fucking 12-year-old is probably a good idea. And he's like, what is this? What is my fucking castle full of David Bowie's over here? God rest his soul.
But
what is this? The fucking meeting of the Drakes? Oh, I'm the funny king.
I wish he was. He's just he's an absolute wet noodle. It's exactly what you said. He's
a peacetime king. All of these people are all summer children. We've not heard anyone call anyone a summer child, and it feels like that's because all of these people are goddamn millennials. That is easy for so long.
And he was chosen as well. Like, he went to the Great Council and they chose him to be king because he's a man. Right. Not because he deserved it or because he wanted it. I think clearly it's his cousin, I think, Rhaenys, the queen who never was. She wants to be king/queen, I mean. Yeah. She has a desire for power and looks to be trying to make intelligent moves.
And it's, yeah. Very telling that he will, like, he was in the same position that his daughter is in now, where he wasn't, like, brought up to be king, so he was put into it late, way later than she was, because he was quite old.
Yeah, yeah.
And then has the goal to be like, yeah, you don't know what you're doing. You ain't been trained. You're gonna shut up. Let the men talk.
Yep, yep.
And so, yeah, in this bit now, he's entertaining this marriage idea, walking down the street with this very... very young girl.
Just a tiny child as well.
Child.
I think they say maybe she's 12, and they'd say that, like, they won't bed until she's 14. She doesn't look 12.
Which I'm sure in the books was like 7 and 11 or something. They always add a couple years on for TV.
Of course. But, like, yeah, a young-looking 12-year-old speaks well, but, like, fucking hell, that's just... You get it to an extent. Like, on a personal level, that's absolutely weird. It would be hard to do just for politics.
Yeah. Because he is wincing this whole time. Like, he clearly doesn't want to do this. And she's just sort of, like, parroting things that her parents have told her to say. So he's got no idea.
Yeah.
And then, the last thing she says is, like, Mom told me I wouldn't have to bed you till I was 14. He's like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I meant to do with that? Jesus fucking Christ.
I gotta wait
2
fucking years over here. What am I supposed to be sitting on my hands the whole time?
What am I meant to be texting you and greeting you? What is this? The fucking Drake room over here again?
Hey,
are we back there?
I gotta
start
a fucking YouTube channel over here. Oh.
What have I gotta be an officially supported Twitch partner over here? Endorsed by the company itself until they get wind of the thing that I was doing for ages that they knew about.
Someone should make a law against that, but I certainly won't. All right, okay.
Okay. Hey, kids, if I ain't grooming you on Minecraft, I'm certainly making your next suggested video a right-wing think piece.
King disrespect. allegedly. So this
then we
meeting,
get a...
Yeah, this meeting is spied upon or just seen by people hanging out. Are those people being Rihanna and Auntie Rhaenys, the queen who never was. They have a little chit-chat. Yep. More manipulation, or at least a bit of coaching going on.
Yeah, a little like a friendly get the fuck out of the way. Or not friendly, but just like a pretty clear, like, hey, we're doing this.
Right.
You're not... going to be a part of this as far as we're concerned. You should probably step back a little because this is going to happen. We're in here for the game.
And regardless of what we want to do, he will have a wife and he will produce a male heir. Unless he
exactly
dies.
Like you're fucked anything that happens, so we're just going to try and slip in here, but either way it doesn't affect you. We're not the villain. Someone's coming along,
right? Exactly.
Which
wouldn't
is true.
Be better for it to be us, you know? We are family, which yeah, we're starting, I guess we started the incest vibes last week, but you know,
the Targaryens love it. They were always fucking each other.
They're all about it. Rhaenyra does a little bit of like, well, if the order is that a male will always be the ruler, when I'm queen, I'll make a new order, which is very Daenerys. It feels more naive now than it did with Daenerys. I guess because Daenerys was probably already on the upswing of power.
Right. Well, and Daenerys was taking the throne back for her family, right, who were overthrown from it and had supporters who still liked the Targaryens more and all of that stuff. So she was kind of representing a wave that was coming, whereas Rhaenyra here is going to be replaced and actively no one wants her to be on that throne.
Yeah. 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 So I don't think she's going to have time to create the new order.
No, exactly.
So, yeah.
As you know, it'd be great if she could be like, yeah, I'll change everything. And hey, about time this place had a little revolution. But it does seem naive from her, especially when talking to the person who literally was in her situation.
Right.
And got looked over. Like, it's coming from a place of knowledge with this woman, with Rhaenys.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like this. I like her. I like Rhaenys.
Dude. One of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, top four. Wait.
Four?
So what's the next scene? The next scene is more sweet nothings. Is that right?
This is the repaired dragon. And, right. Yeah, those two hanging out, Viserys and Alicent.
Yep.
Doing a bit more chatting, and then Otto shows up to... Oh, yeah. Let him know that some shit's gone down.
Yeah,
something's happened.
I could not.
Bloody Daemons.
I thought it was going to be Crabman or something. Like I loved that. I didn't see this coming at all, and it became a huge matter of conflict for the episode because there's already, like we've been talking about, a million plot threads of interpersonal conflict, and then they just chucked a big old firework on the bonfire here.
It's each of the thing of every character having autonomy and moving at the same time was one of the most appealing things about Game of Thrones, is that everyone seemed to be emotional all of the time.
Right.
And that's happened again. The mongoose himself has snuck into the nest and stolen an egg.
Yes.
Daemon's got the same egg, they find out, that was in the... So it's like, I don't know if this was really mentioned that much during Game of Thrones, but Targaryens apparently are chucking a dragon egg in with the babies when they're going to be an heir to the throne.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, we know that they had those three eggs, the Targaryens, with them. So maybe they did. But I guess this is where it comes down to Daemon as a character is, like we were saying before, he feels like he's acting the way he is because of the position he's been put in by others. However, choosing the dragon egg that was put in the bed with your...
dead nephew?
Stillborn nephew. It feels like a particular fuck you to Viserys.
It feels like a fuck you as much as it feels like a... I do believe him when he says, I follow this tradition. I am doing what my house is meant to do. I think that I... And like, the thing that his house is meant to do is be cunts to everybody else and tell them they own him and shit. So like, it's not great, but I think he's doing it from a place he thinks of... loyalty and tradition and like duty just as much as the king is.
Do you think Viserys is. It had to be that specific egg though?
I think there's an element of fuck you, and I think there's an element of this should have been mine in the first place. So it's a fuck you, but I think from his point of view, the second fuck you. It's a reply fuck you.
He feels justified. Sure. I can see that as well. That's why it's a good show, because you can empathize with both.
Right. And so they mention, after they mention Raina asks which egg was it. He says it was Baelor, who was the kid.
Yep.
His egg. Viserys jumps up. He's out of the door. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to fucking Dragonstone. So maybe it was a fuck you deliberately to get him to the wedding, because that's the other thing.
Right.
Is there was a letter left there being like, hey, I'm getting married in 2 days to the woman I ran off with on the back of the dragon 6 months ago. Going to have a baby with her. She's going to be my second wife, which is apparently our tradition now.
Right.
And so I'm going to have the heir to the throne up there. I fucking see you in 2 days.
Yep.
And Otto's like, don't go. That's insane.
That's so stupid. It's really dangerous. You're the king. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? And it's like, well, yeah, they are brothers, but that's not, no. Otto,
and I think
Otto
that
is
Otto
smart.
He is smart, and I think the reason he's putting himself in harm's way as a smart man going up there himself is because this is a threat to his throne that he is trying to take right now.
Right.
Daemon is the biggest threat that Alicent faces against her claim to being the queen and then the son bearer or whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
he's
yeah,
got
absolutely.
Skin in this game beyond being the hand of the king.
Yeah, which it's still debatable, right? Like, just because the younger son of, or the younger brother, sorry, of the king has a male heir, doesn't right. necessarily, you know, that younger brother himself has been, you know, excommunicated, whatever, whatever that word is.
He's exiled.
Specifically with the succession.
Right.
What
right,
is
right.
that? Whatever it's called. It seems like he's out of the picture.
Yes.
Abdicate. Except it was forced on him. But I guess as much as we've seen in Game of Thrones and everything, it more depends on how much power you have behind you. If he gets an even bigger army and has that claim, then, you know, hey, we got a war going on.
He's gone up to Dragonstone, taken it over,
yep.
used his little army that he's got to hold the Targaryen's traditional seat.
Yep.
So, like, that's showy, and that is, like, enough to, if people see this queen as someone they don't want and the king, therefore, as wishy-washy because he's intending to put that queen there, they'll prefer him and he will succeed the throne. So, like, he knows what he's doing, and he's right that it could pick up momentum.
Mm.
So yeah, it needs to be squashed, both for, you know, the actual king and princess's sake, but also for Otto's future.
Yeah, but it turns out to be quite dangerous.
Yeah, it literally is. Like, he's brought him there as this little trap because, like, I forget her name, but the woman he says he's gonna marry after this little interaction.
Miseria, I believe?
Something like that, yeah, Miseria. She is unaware that he'd said all of this stuff to them.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a play. This isn't him doing this out of the love that he kind of claims he has. It is a play. And if you feel like playing or doing something out of the love that you have,
yeah,
there's a product that could serve you quite well if that playfulness or love involves genitals.
All right. Yeah, that's great. That's much better than I can come up with.
Eggs smooth as hell.
We can
Manscaped.
We can always go back to remember on the bridge? What's his name? That man's caped.
Yeah.
That man's caped.
If we use that one 10 times during this season of this show, it might get tiresome, but I'm willing to do that.
I mean, this was the first time I noticed that the mans were wearing capes. So that's
they've all
me,
got capes on,
yeah.
And they've got probably real hairy balls, which it might not be the choice that you want. Manscaped can help you ditch that look. They make real good electric razors. The Lawnmower 4.0 is like the best one I've ever used.
Yeah.
They're specifically made for like male genital grooming and male body hair grooming, but you can use them fucking anywhere that grows hair.
Absolutely. I have, and I will continue to, because it always works.
I refuse to stop.
We won't stop. They're launching something called the Platinum Package on August 30th in Australia. That is tomorrow. The Platinum Package 4.0 is their best value deal yet. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0, which is their electric razor. Use it on your balls, use it on your face, use it on your chest, use it on your butthole. They've also
got... You can do it all in one sweep. You hear the king of grooming.
And that also unlocks my phone, I think. What is it? What do you use those gestures with?
Oh, yeah, like a Samsung.
Yeah. Like, unlocks my Samsung. The Weed Whacker, that's what it's called. We talk about the ear and nose hair trimmer every week or every other week. It's called the Weed Whacker. It's so fucking good, especially if you're a guy hitting like your mid-30s, not like Adam and I who are in our mid-20s and haven't encountered anything like that yet.
The saddest thing you've ever said.
The Weed Whacker is really great. There's like no nicks or cuts or anything. It's super, super safe. There's a body wash, a shampoo and conditioner, a deodorant, an anti-chafing balm thing, there's a toner, there's a fucking awesome little travel bag. That all comes in the Platinum package. It's a fantastic deal package. Damn. And you know what? So is mine. And you know what else? You can get 20% off and free shipping if you go to manscaped.com and use the code ARIA. That's A-R-Y-A. These are like genuinely the only electric razor for your body or face you'll ever need. We fucking love them. We've been using their products for years because of our partnership with them on Filthy Casuals. Manscaped, it's good for you. It's good for your man. Fucking get around it.
Yep. Great present. 20% off and free shipping's good too. Use code ARIA. Good. You don't want to have sharp steel that is being wielded dangerously down near your balls, but that's what's about to happen on this bridge, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They have like sort of a tense little talk. Otto's like, give me back the egg. Damon's like, nah. Miseria. the Macarena is like,
yep.
Like kind of reacting as though she had no clue that he was planning to marry her or have a kid with her and all this shit.
She storms off at one point, which, yeah.
She does.
I didn't pick up on her not knowing. I was just like, oh, she's mad at all this kerfuffle. It's very quickly clarified.
Yeah, so they have this like tense argument on the bridge, whip out their swords at some point, and then along comes a dragon, specifically Viserys's dragon, to be like, you know, good luck with your fucking swords, guys.
Yeah, we got a nuke. You want to come to
you'd
the
party?
You'd
need a second nuke to fight a nuke. You'd need to have mutually assured destruction, I think, would be a healthy place to be.
Yeah. And that's a good concept you've come up with, Adam.
Thank you very much. I don't think it'll ever go wrong. The clouds start to rumble underneath this bridge that I don't remember being quite as high as this when we visited Dragonstone in Game of Thrones.
I agree. Maybe I think, though... We may have approached from the sea in Game of Thrones.
We did, but if these people didn't approach from the sea, then I'm not sure where they came from. Although where? I guess they're allowed to go through the land maybe now because it seemed like, you know, people, and I don't think that this is a issue with the way it was laid out in Jurassic Park, people complain about that drop coming out of nowhere.
Yep.
This seemed like a much higher bridge than it used to be, but I assume that I'm wrong about that.
No, well, could be, because they really emphasized the fucking scale of it. It was a beautiful shot, all those clouds and sunlight dappled through. I thought it looked fantastic. It was a bit green screeny when they were on the bridge, but that's because it's close-ups of people, you know, that's fair enough. But I actually thought, generally, this was a really visually well-executed episode.
It's cool. Yeah, I agree. And a lot of it is like fog in the valley or whatever too, but
yes.
This dragon is flying very closely to the ground in that case and rumbles through the clouds and comes up with this dramatic reveal that here's Rihanna on the back of her dragon using it to protect everyone and it's risky and she shows up and no one told her to come here and she's done this on her own. But she has a little chat with her uncle and you can tell again that he genuinely cares about his family.
Yeah.
And now that she's here, he's like, well, fuck, I don't want to kill her. She says to him, like, I'm your fucking problem here. I'm the heir that you're worried about.
Yeah.
Kill me. Go on.
Yeah. And he doesn't do it. He just throws the egg at her, fucks off. And then they put the egg in a little oven.
Yeah. They got a little crock pot boiling away at the back, have a little bit of dragon egg fondue.
Yep.
And off back home they go after, Damon and Macarena have a tense chat about him being a selfish prick.
Yeah.
She's like, you promised me all this shit when you came here. You said I'd be free, and like being with you is fucking sucking right now because you're doing all these little ploys without me.
Yeah, you got to bloody clue me in on the ploys.
Get me a
first
ploys.
First line I didn't love of the show is when she goes, you know, I didn't want to be with you for gold or power. Also, is she doing a French accent? Just, what was that?
I assume that it, I kind of thought of it as a made-up accent for the show. I don't know if it was meant to be like Dornish or from across the sea or whatever. I'm not sure what her real accent is.
It had, she's American, I think, or English, actually.
Where was, I don't remember her name, but Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter who was married to Robb Stark. Where was from in the show?
Oh, fuck.
Because it kind of reminded me of that voice.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. But it kind of sounded initially kind of like a Caribbean accent, you know, like a bit of a...
Sure.
And then maybe it's that, maybe, and then it went a bit more French. I don't know. It was an accent I've never heard in the show before, I'll say that. But what Fair she enough. Says, she says, I'm not with you for gold or power. I'm with you to be liberated. And then he says...
From what? He asks unnecessarily.
Liberated from what? It felt like a real, you know, a real TV script line.
I noticed the exact same one. And then she says, from fear. But it's like, why would you ask liberated from what? Because you literally took her out of the brothel you met her in. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And if it's not gold or what? Power, it's like, well, yeah, from being in that awful situation I was in where I was afraid every day and was a piece of property. What the fuck you think?
You were well aware that she was literally a sex slave because you employed her for sex slavery.
Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't a sex slave at that point, but the way it all is there, you assume that everyone's had a bad fucking time for a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
This is a Westeros rule that I'm applying to Westeros only, as should all rules be.
And it's fair enough, though, you know. Now she's been taken from a position of fear into what she thought was stability. And now him doing these fucking plans and tricks without her knowing, she's back into instability. She doesn't know what's going on.
Exactly. And that put she's somebody's fucking tool again.
Yeah, like if they want to quash and quell this potential challenge to the throne, a great way to do it would be to kill her so that she can't have any heirs.
Right.
So, not nice.
back home in the Red Keep, where... Viserys going on his advice spree some more. That guy who we haven't really talked too much, who I'm still not quite sure who he is, but the other guy on the council.
Yeah. He just seems like some random lord, right? Like not a money man or a maester or anything, just sort of like a dude. Maybe he's like the head of the army, I don't know.
Bit of a kiss ass.
Yep.
Kind of just like telling him what he wants to hear a little bit. He's like, I'll speak plainly as ever. And then he's like, you're the greatest and I love your silver locks. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think you're a fantastic king. But yeah, they are chatting there, and then he finds out Viserys, someone comes up and he's like, the princess has come back from Dragonstone. He's like, a hubba hubba who now? That's what he says, which was the second bad line of the show.
Yeah.
When he says a hubba hubba who now.
Hubba hubba who now?
And kind of admonishes her, but then he's like, I get it though also.
Right. You remind me of your mother who I loved.
Yeah. And he's talking about love and the hole in his life that's missing from having a person he cared about.
Yep.
To...
Oh, and I mean, we did establish this before about everyone telling him the same advice, but yeah, random lord guy was like, look, to speak honestly with you, definitely marry the 12-year-old. It's a perfect match. Politically, it makes sense. Militarily, it makes sense. It's going to reestablish you as a strong power. It's the only thing that you can do that makes sense right now.
Corlys is the richest person in Westeros, apparently, and is also the one who is like the most ornery towards the king. Like right at the start of this episode, Otto has to be like, just because you're on the fucking council doesn't mean you're the same as the king, cunt.
Yeah, true.
That's, again, some clunky dialogue in this one.
I didn't mind that one, personally.
You come in here all effing and jeffing at the king? Turn around. Pull your socks up, mate.
Go back. Go down to the bloody effing and jeffing room. That's where you belong. This is for kings.
But so the whole council's kind of gathered here with Alicent here, which already is like, well, surely that's unusual.
Yep.
And he's gathering his wits and stealing his resolve to tell these guys, hey, I've made a decision. I'm going to marry. And the person I'm going to marry is...
going to be revealed
with like that
after the ad break.
Everyone's face, yeah. It's Alicent.
Yeah, it's bloody Alicent. That bloody plan that Mr. Otto was formulating, it's worked. He's winning.
And Rihanna looks upset and betrayed. Alicent looks at her like, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, huh?
Yeah, girls gotta eat, huh?
Girls gotta eat. And I'm basically being forced to do this as well. So I look like I'm guilty, but also I don't know how much of this is me starting to think about the fact that I might benefit from it. But
yeah.
And Corlys is mad. He fucking storms off.
Yeah.
Storms off all the way up to fucking Dragonstone.
Yeah.
He storms off. He marches up there so angry for weeks and weeks. Just fucking motherfucker.
He has to send off like ravens and shit. Eventually his army catches up, his bodyguards. They're like, hey, come on. What, can you stomping for a bit? He's like, no, I've got a plan. I'm going to bloody see it through right now. No stopping.
Yeah. And he's having a chat with someone. You don't know who it is at first, but it's obviously Damon. And saying about how, you know, I've got all these shipping routes that are being put in danger. I don't know what I think about the way things are going right now. Hey, I basically would back you for the throne if you went for it.
He gives him a we're not so different, you and I. We both had to
fight, yeah.
Which it's untrue. It's entirely untrue. And I don't think that Damon buys it entirely. Doesn't look like it. It's like, no, like, you may have had to, like, scrap and fight to make your way, but I actually haven't. I'm the younger brother of the king. I was always part of a royal family, whether I was king or prince or whatever. You are just buttering me up.
Absolutely. Fucking Corlys's sob story starts with the sentence, when I ascended to the throne, which the Driftwood throne,
yeah.
Like, well, you started, so... All right, whatever.
Yeah.
But sure, I'll talk to you about the treason, I guess, that we're talking about now. You know what I want to do, but don't talk fucking shit about my brother. I'm allowed to say he's a cunt, but you aren't.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. You can really overlay like a Succession, like the TV show, or like a, you know, move it to like the council flats and it's just a family who don't like each other. You know, it's like, it's such authentic family balance of power dynamic that it's which is perfect. It's great, you know. It could be set anywhere and it would still be a really engaging show. I guess the fact that I can say that about a character named Daemon Targaryen is a good sign, but I liked this. I don't think that Daemon is all in with Corlys or will be. I mean, he does seem pretty unsure to the end of this episode as well, so that's, you know.
Right, because the suggestion that they're talking about here, I actually didn't quite understand. I don't remember if they were talking about teaming up with the crab guy or going out to fight the crab guy themselves just to get rid of him and fuck him up.
I think it was they will team up and fight the crab guy against the king's wishes to show their worth and value to the rest of the realm.
That's right, because they're talking about the second son has to earn it rather than be given it.
Right.
And, yeah, we see intercut stuff with all the crab people. And I don't know if this is meant to be the big crab king, the guy with the kind of golden mask on, or if this is just a crab soldier.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, I mean, there was a Next Time On, which I didn't watch. And there's like...
I haven't either, no.
Yeah, there's a trailer for episode 3 on YouTube, which I haven't watched. We're going to watch it next week, so I'm not the kind of person who feels the need to watch that now out of context, so it may well say, let's assume it's Mr. Krabs, and that's what we see next week, the start of a little tussle between these three.
I'm absolutely with you that I don't think Damon trusts fucking Corlys at all.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't trust Otto either, like, why? He probably doesn't trust any of those people who would be on that council.
Totally.
And would want to ditch them all if he was going to be taking his little butt and putting it on the Iron Throne.
That's right. They have very specifically conflicting desires. They all want to be on the throne. So, yeah.
And someone who's like, loyal, 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 and then comes to you and they're like, what about some treason? You got to be like, you fucking are. No way.
Yeah.
No way am I trusting you beyond after that guy's head's lopped off.
Yeah,
and it's
yours
next.
Totally. And I'm keen to see if Daemon is as smart as we think he is. I think he's being played that way. Probably is still the most interesting character to me in the show. But I do like what Rhianna's got to work with. You know, it's an interesting character arc that we're seeing with her. I like
the conflict between
confident and stuff
her,
she is.
Sorry. Getting to see in the future the conflict between her and Alicent and,
right.
and have that blow up and maybe her stopping trusting Otto because of that and talking to her dad about that and all those people starting to infight with each other. I'm looking forward to. I don't know what direction it'll go with these people. Like the fact that it's new situations and new characters, it's not a given with shows like this.
Yeah.
It can run into the same sort of thing. So that's, I think, why before we were worried. But the directions they're pushing in are new stories.
Absolutely. I'm super excited. I think my thing with Alicent is she probably has laid enough groundwork to be like, hey, Rhianna, I didn't choose this, you know, I'm a victim of this, you know, politics, but hey, is it better for it to be me than anyone else? I can see her pulling that card, which may well work.
I feel like what's her name? Natalie Dormer's character in Game of Thrones. Marjorie.
That's right.
Was a bit of the same thing where at first it was like, oh, I'm being forced to do this, da da da. But then at some point you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could see maybe that being the type of person that Alicent is as well, maybe.
Yes, I do think that is the truth. But we may be wrong.
I would love for it to be that she's like, look, I don't want to fucking do this. I'm in love with you. I'm married to your dad, but I want to be with you. Like, you know,
that'd be
cool
sick.
Too.
That'd
That's
be
the
a good
dream.
Okay, let's wrap it up there. Another great episode of this show. I'm so, so glad that it is a good, fun TV show to watch. And we'll be back next week for episode 3. Keep sending in your emails. I think that's the best way to do it because, you can be a bit more expansive and I can scan them properly to make sure there's no spoilers. So aryatalkingtomepod@gmail.com. Love to hear from you and... just remember that, we will be reading them before, on the episode that the next episode, you know, is for. So you gotta, but you get it. Everyone who's emailed so far has gotten it. I don't need to explain how time works to you.
And we record pretty quick after that episode.
Yeah.
So you'd need to email it within the first, hour after that episode was on or something. But
That's
don't
true.
Do that.
That's true. Would love to hear from you throughout the week. We're also, Ari Talking to Me on Instagram and... If you are new, or if you're old and haven't reviewed the show yet, love a rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us. We got a little feature on Apple this week. We're in the little House of the Dragon hub, which is really cool.
Nerdiest place on the internet.
But it's on,
I'm at the House of the Dragon hub. Come meet me.
It's like on the front page of the Apple Podcasts app. So if you are coming here from that, welcome. There's a whole bunch of episodes about Game of Thrones that you can catch up on if you want to. But stick with us for House of the Dragon. I think it's going to be a really interesting season.
Hey, I reckon it already is.
Well, hey, we'll see you next week.
Hey, agreed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.